Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
You guys excited to be here today? You guys excited to be in the house of God? Y'all don't sound excited. Let those online hear you. Come on now. Everybody online, we're excited that you're with us too. I truly believe that God has a plan and purpose for our lives and that COVID-19 has not canceled God's purpose, God's plan, God's destiny for you or for this church or for your future. Do you believe that? I think it's time that we start rising up, that we allow faith to rise up from our hearts and start believing that the best is yet to come, that God has more in store, and that God is going to continue to move and work on our behalf. I pray, and I really do pray and trust that you continue to believe that God has good things in store for you and your future and for your family. So continue to not give in to fear, but to give in to faith. Regardless of what you're going to, choose faith over fear. Because if God took us this far, right? If God brought us this far, how many know that he can continue to sustain us and bring us to what he has prepared for us? I believe it. I also believe that it's time for so many of you who are watching to come home. It's time to return. If it's okay to go to Walmart, if it's okay to go to Buffalo Wild Wings, I was on date night last night with my wife, and we were at Hudson Taco, and we had to wait 45 minutes because the place was mobbed. If it's okay to go to Hudson Taco, how many know that it's good and it's okay to come to church? And I know there's some out you, and I'm not here to shame anyone and make you feel bad if you're sick or if you have pre-existing condition or if you're elderly or older, but there's some of you out there who are younger, who are healthy, who are a little hesitant or quite comfortable watching in your PJs. But I'm here to tell you, get out of your PJs, put on your skinny jeans, and come to church, okay? Get your skinny jeans on and come to church, because it's when we gather that there's power. It's when we gather where God's presence comes. There's certain things that can't happen at home that happen in God's house. What makes us the church is that we gather on Sundays. What makes us the church is that we gather. So let me encourage you, if you have yet to return home, if you have yet to come home, come on home. It is safe, sanitized, spacious, spectacular, and spirit-filled. How many know that? And just to go a little further, we're crazy enough to baptize people. Yes, I am going in the water, and I will be baptizing people who are ready to take the next step of faith. But you're like, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know if I should go in the water because of the germs. Don't worry, I have the same feeling. That's why God invented chlorine and shock. Because any virus or any germ that gets into that water is going to be shocked, right? It's going to be destroyed by chlorine and ice. And by the way, if it's okay to go to a water park, it's okay to get baptized. Come on now. If it's okay to go to a pool, if it's okay to go to the beach, if it's okay to go to the lake, it's okay to get baptized. So don't let this virus keep you from getting baptized. If you're ready to do that, it's going to be shocked. It's going to be chlorinated. I'll wear a mask. I'll wear a suit, a hazmat suit, whatever I got to do to get you in there. But let me encourage you. Take the next step of faith. Get water baptized. Continue moving forward with your life. Continue moving forward with what God has in store for you and your life and your family. Let's continue to trust God. Again, choose faith over fear, okay? Now, there's good fear and there's bad fear. Good fear tells you to wear a seatbelt when you're driving, especially when you're driving with me, okay? I used to tell my kids. Or maybe my wife, I think it was, I don't need a seatbelt. She says, Joe, put your seatbelt on. And I would tell her, I don't need a seatbelt because I'm covered by the blood. And she would say, you're going to be covered with blood if you don't wear your seatbelt. How many know that's good fear? Wear your seatbelt. Good fear. Wear a mask. Good fear. Right? When you go in public and you're closer than 6 feet, wear a mask. But there's unhealthy fear that keeps you home, under the bed, hiding under the sheets, afraid to see the light, afraid to come out of your cave, afraid to do anything. And you know what's also interesting? If you put on the news, if you're a news person, there's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, bad news going on. And if you listen to that long enough, it'll rewire your brain and thinking it's the end of the world. I came to tell you today, it's not the end of the world. God still has more work to do. God is still working, God is still moving, and God still wants to work in your heart. So let me encourage you. I just want to exhort you. I want to encourage you to continue to choose faith over fear. Live your life to the fullest. Continue to believe that God has more. Continue to have big dreams for your future. Yes, there may be roadblocks. Yes, there might be setbacks. Yes, things might change overnight. But I don't know about you. This is what I do know, that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's actually another story in the Bible where Jesus talks about building. He's not talking about the church. He's talking about people's lives. And he says there's two types of people. One is a person that builds his life on the sand. And another who builds his house on the rock, okay? And when the storms come, the person who built his house on the sand is going to come crumbling down, is going to crash. And that's where some of you are at today. You were building your house, but it was on the sand, and the storm came and swept you away. But Jesus is telling you, it's not too late. You can still rebuild your house. Rebuild your house, but this time rebuild it on the rock. Rebuild it on Jesus Christ. There's a shaking, there's a moving, there's a stirring. There's a movement going on because God is working and God is doing something deeper in our lives. It's not the end. It's the beginning of something new. It's the beginning of a great move of God. I really believe that we are on the verge of revival, renewal, a spiritual awakening. As I read other pastors, as I read about what's happening throughout our country and throughout our world, you cannot help but to believe and see that God is moving in extraordinary ways. My son just shared a video with us. He was out in New Hampshire with a slew of college students who are hungering after God in a barn. They're in a barn praying for revival, praying for renewal, praying that God pours out his spirit, praying that God does something new in our country. I wonder how many of us are praying for revival. I wonder how many of us are praying for God to move. I wonder how many of us are praying for God to do something new in our lives. I know the scriptures tell us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. How many know we got to pray for a move of God? We have to believe for a move of God. We have to believe that God is about to move. I truly believe without a shadow of a doubt that we are on the verge of a move of God, of a revival, of an awakening, of a spiritual awakening. It's going to look different than we've seen it in the past. It's going to feel different, but this is what I believe. God is going to visit you when you're home washing the dishes, and God's going to visit you when you're in the garage fixing your lawn tractor. God's going to visit you when you're riding the subway. God's going to visit you in your car. You're not going to know what has hit you, but all you know, you're going to know is this, that God's spirit has come upon you, that his peace that surpasses understanding has visited you, has met you. This move of God is not just going to happen in church. It's going to happen in your home. It's going to happen at work. It's going to happen on the subway. It's going to happen on the streets. It's going to happen in Hannaford. You're going to be moving in Hannaford, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God is going to come upon you, and you're going to feel the peace of God. You're going to feel the power of God. You're going to feel the strength of God. That's what happens when revival hits a city. That's what happens when revival hits a county. That's what happens when revival hits a country. There is no wall that can keep God out. There is no sin that can stop God from loving you. There is nothing that you can do to stop God from moving deeply in your life. Are you guys with me here today? Let me know if you're with me online. Let me know in the chat. Say, I'm with you, Pastor. Give me some love. It's always good to feel some people in this house. You guys with me? Nothing can stop God from moving. When it's time for God to move, I don't care who's the president. God is going to move. I don't care who's in charge of the country. God is going to move. I don't care what's happening in this world. When God decides to move, walls will come down. God will begin to transform hearts and transform lives and transform communities and transform people. I know you think I'm preaching crazy, but I just got to tell you that there is good news out there today. That God is working and God is moving and God has a plan and God has a purpose and God's not dead. He's still alive. Come on now, right? God's still working. God's not being quarantined. God has hit the pause button. We're having fun today. I'm just so super excited. I know first service, I went off the edge a little bit and I said, well, second service, I have to be more kind of pastoral. Hallelujah. But I just got to tell you what's brewing in my soul today. I think we just got to break out of our COVID coma and start believing and start. That song just got me. Let faith arise. It's time for faith to arise. It's time for us to move forward. I know there's challenges and I know there's difficulties and I'm a very much a realist. But this I know, whatever God has brought you to, he will bring you through. If he brought us this far, he's going to continue to carry us through. God is working. God is moving. Continue to trust God. There's an old song. I don't know if you know it. It's by a band named U2. Any U2 fans out there? Yeah, I didn't think there were many of you that were U2 fans. But you've got to know this song. Should I sing it for you? Okay, can I get a little background music? I need a little background, or maybe not. Because this is the title of today's message. Here it is. You guys with me? They said, Pastor, last sermon? Yeah, we have to just file that one. This has got to be the good one. Sorry, guys, I just messed this one up. Here we go. 'Cause I've still haven't found what I'm looking for. How was that? 'Cause I still haven't found what I'm looking for. 'Cause I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Today we're going to jump into the book of Hosea. If you're just joining us today, Hosea chapter 2. The title of today's message is this: I still haven't found what I'm looking for. How many out there are still looking for your keys? How many are looking for your wallet? How many have still, I still haven't found my wallet. Your cell phone. How many are still looking for your cell phone? How many still looking for your spouse? Is any men looking? Because we could do a match right here, maybe. And I'm just teasing. How many still looking for purpose? How many still looking for meaning? How many still looking for peace? How many still looking for happiness? How many still looking for contentment? How many still looking for a raise? Right? How many still looking for success? You know what I've learned in life? That we chase after things. And we go around in life chasing things and going after things. And in doing so, we neglect the most important thing. And that's what the book of Hosea is all about. God spoke to Hosea 750 years before Jesus Christ was born. We're going 2,700 years ago. God spoke to a prophet named Hosea, and during this particular time, God would speak to his people through prophets. Sometimes he would speak through them, through their words. Other times he spoke through their lives. This time, God wanted to speak to his people through their life. And I just want you to, as we read this, I want you to just imagine that God is not speaking to Israel, God is speaking to us. Because as we gather around God's word and listen to what God is saying, we have to listen to what God's Spirit wants to speak to us and through us through the scriptures. And God speaks to Hosea in chapter 1, verse 2. And he says this, go marry a prostitute. And if I didn't have your attention up to this point, I do now. How many know that? Yes, God asks a man of God to marry a prostitute. Yes, that's in the Bible. And some of y'all thought the Bible was boring. Some of you are like, where's that at? I got a prostitute. But not only did he say, go marry a prostitute, it gets worse. This is what he said. He said, so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. In other words, Hosea, go marry a prostitute. She'll have some of your children, but some of her children will come from the men she's sleeping with. Why? Well, scriptures tell us very clearly, this will illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. Wow. First of all, God was communicating something deep to his people, and God wants to communicate something deep to us. You see, what God wants to communicate to us here this morning is that what we are doing today is not about religion. His relationship with us is not based on religion. I don't like religion. I'm not a part of a religion. I'm not inviting you to join me to be a part of this religion. God deeply wants a relationship with us. God never invites us to have religion. God invites us to have a deep, loving, personal relationship with him. God asked Hosea to marry Gomer, which was a prostitute. Hosea represents God. Gomer represents us. Just that act of marriage should speak to us that our relationship with God can be seen like a marriage. Actually, God created marriage to reflect his relationship with you and me. Isn't that incredible? And that relationship is not based on laws. It's not based on rules. It's based on a deep, loving, intimate relationship with him. In other words, God is not mad at you. He is madly in love with you. The scriptures tell us that we are the bride of Christ. We are his bride, and he is the bridegroom. Eventually, we will be united together in heaven as husband and as wife. But while we walk on this earth, we have to remind ourselves that this is not about religion. What is religion? Religion basically can be defined as performing, as doing, as trying to achieve, trying to satisfy by good works, trying to be good enough for God to like us. Listen, there's nothing good that you can do to get God to love you more than he loves you now. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that all of our goodness is like filthy rags before God. In other words, as hard as we try to be good and please God, there's nothing that we can do to please God. God simply loves us because it is who he is. It doesn't make sense. He can't help himself. He just loves you. It's radical. It's reckless. It's relentless. It's nonsensical. It is who he is. It is what he does. He can't stop loving you. Is that a song? Can't stop loving you? I'm feeling it today, guys. I'm feeling it. What song is that? Somebody tell me after service. Can't stop loving you. Can't stop loving you. I'll make one up. But he can't stop loving you. He's deeply in love with you. So, first of all, he illustrates through Hosea's decision to marry this prostitute that he is in a covenant marriage relationship with his people. You see, religion is life-taking. Relationship is life-giving. That's why church hasn't worked for a lot of you, because for you, church is about religion. Religion will never work for you. What works and only works is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what works for us. For some of you, your faith hasn't worked for you because it's been dependent upon religion. And some of you think, well, if I do good and please God, then good things will happen. If I do bad things, then bad things will happen. And God says, no, I love you the way you are. And this is a relationship deal. And I love you. And I want relationship with you. And not only am I your husband, not only am I your lover, but I am a jealous God. I'm a jealous lover. I'm jealous. I'm a jealous God. It's the nature of who he is. He's a jealous God. And God is madly in love with you, and he does not want to share you with anyone. But unfortunately for many of us, we have chased after other things. And we've turned our hearts away from our lover, our husband. And we've turned our hearts to the things of this world because we think that if I sleep with that thing or I pursue that thing or chase that thing down, that thing will give me the satisfaction that I'm looking for. So we jump to chapter 2. And in verse 5, this is what Hosea writes about Israel or Gomer. He says, I will go after my lovers. This is what Gomer is saying. I'm going to go after my lovers who give me what? My food and my water, my wool and my linen, my olive oil and my drink. She's like, I'm going to go after these things that I believe are going to what? Satisfy me, fulfill me, meet my needs. Man, so many of us fall for that trap so often. We think that we can find our needs met outside of God. We think that we can have all of our needs met in a relationship or in our careers or in our finances or in position or in popularity or in fame or in money or in a car or in a house. We think that all of those things will be met if I can just achieve those things in my life, if I can just grab a hold of those things. This was Israel's problem. They quickly turned from a life-giving relationship with God, and they went towards religion, and that religion pushed them away from God, and now they're chasing after things. And in verse 7, it says, she will chase after her lovers, but what? Not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. I wonder how many are still looking for something that you have yet to find. I wonder how many here today are still trying to find what you're looking for. And so many people in this world are trying to find peace and purpose, completion with a relationship, happiness, thinking that if I chase after those things, and we call it dreams, if I chase after my dreams, then I'll arrive to this place in which, like she says, at the end of the rainbow, my needs will be met. You ever try to find the end of a rainbow? I'm sure you're still trying to find it, because you can never find the end of a rainbow. And so many of us are chasing the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And you know what the end of your journey is going to be like? She will chase after her lovers, but not catch them. She will look for them, but not find them. She would go. She would try. And she'll pursue. Do you know how much energy it must have taken her to go after her lovers? You know how much energy it takes from us to pursue things, especially when our hearts are turned away from God? Hosea is speaking about our relationship with God, how we've chased things in life, and how we chase those things and we can never find those things. For me, I've chased many things. I've tried to chase popularity. I've tried to chase success. For me, in my career, being a young minister, I chased success. First of all, I was chasing purpose and success through a career. I initially wanted to be in the New York State Police, and I thought that if I could just get to become a state trooper, then I can pull people over and give them a ticket like they used to give me tickets all the time. And I don't know why they pulled me over for so much. I mean, my windows weren't that dark. I could still see out. And everybody drives 80. I don't know about you. You guys drive 80. I don't know why they're pulling me over. But I said, finally, I'll get to that place. I can pull people over. I knew that if I achieved that dream, if I achieve that goal with my life, I will find purpose and meaning. Well, God changed those dreams and radically changed my life and called me to become a minister, but I still had an ego that needed to be stroked. And I thought, you know what? Now I'll just take that drive to be successful in the police force and I'll be successful with my ministry. That means, and I was taught this as a young pastor, it's all about how big your church is, right? And I can remember pastoring a church of 30 people in Boston. And I remember we counted everybody and everything. We counted the kids. We counted my kids. We counted the kid in Ruth's belly. We counted any pregnant woman twice because there was a life in there. We counted the people that walked by because that's what pastors do when they have churches. And you think, if I just grow a church, then I'll be successful. And I remember a few years ago, I used to think when I was pastoring that church that if I reached 500 people in my church, like I would have arrived. So you guys may not notice, but several years ago, I made it my life purpose to pastor a church of 500 people to get there. Because most pastors don't. The average church in America is 75. And 98% of the churches are less than 500. So I said, definitely, I'll be a top 2%er. And I can remember the day several years ago when I was in the lobby, and I don't know if Jose's watching. He's in Florida right now. Jose told me in the lobby, this was many years ago, Pastor, we hit 500. I said, let's try. I felt good. I've arrived. And I can remember I wanted to celebrate, but there was nobody around because everybody left already. The church, everyone had left, and my wife had left, and I remember going, I parked in the upper lot, and I got into my car, and I said, this is amazing. And I said, if it's so amazing, then why do I still feel so empty? Because I thought to myself, now what? Like, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And, you know, this is my career, but what about your career? What about maybe you're running a business? Maybe you're in a company where you want to rise up the ranks and you get promoted and, if I can just get that corner office or if I can just get that house. And I can't tell you how many times people who've arrived at that place of success to only take out the CD and put it in and start playing YouTube. Why is it that I finally got what I wanted and still feel empty? You know, it happens every year when the new iPhone comes out, right? Like just when you think you've got the latest phone and you got it, and yeah, I have the XR20 and it's going to be amazing. And then you hear, the new one's coming out. And they've got us all hooked. Because every new phone that you finally get is amazing for the first week, and then you're like, okay, what's next? How many know what I'm talking about? This is what it means to chase other lovers. We chase after stuff. We chase after things. And you know what? The end result of that chase will always be exhaustion, emptiness. And this is what he says. Let me keep going. 7a, 7b. It says, then she will say, oh, no, 7A. I don't want to jump ahead. 7A, she would chase after others but not catch them. She would look for them but not find them. Exhaustion. But something shifts in verse 7A to the second half of that verse. And this is the shift that God wants to make in your life. In 7B, she says, then she will say, after recognizing and realizing that this hot pursuit, this pursuit has led her to nowhere, she will say, I will go back to my husband as at first. For then I was better off than now. She realized that the thing she was looking for, she could not find. But the thing she was looking for could actually be found in her husband. She realized that I've been searching and pursuing and chasing, but I didn't realize that the very thing I was chasing was God. My heart had turned away from God, and I tried to chase after other gods. And at the end of this chase, I've come to realize that, you know what? Nothing satisfies me like God. Nothing can quench the thirst that I have like God, like my husband, like my lover. And that's the place where some of you are at today. You're at the end of your chase, and God is saying, here I am. Because all the while you've been chasing other lovers, God has been chasing you. He has not stopped loving you. He has not stopped pursuing you. As your husband, he has been after you. He's been following you. He's had his iPhone tracker, GPS. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows what you're doing. But regardless of what you've been doing, sleeping around with other gods, sleeping around with other idols, he has not stopped loving you. Look at verse 14. Just to prove my point, I don't have much time, but verse 14, he says, therefore, I am now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. I love how the good news says it. Where's Alex? Tell Alex to come up here. The good news says it this way. So I'm going to take her into the desert again, for there I will win her back with my words of love. Isn't that powerful? God has never stopped loving you. You have been chasing other lovers. We have been chasing other gods. But guess what? God has been chasing you. And God has been chasing you down. And he says in verse 15, keep going, we're almost there. I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. I love how the New Living Translation states it. It states it this way. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. That's what God wants to do. He wants to transform the valley of trouble that you're in to a gateway of hope when you recognize that you have been drifting farther and farther away from your lover. You've been pursuing other loves. And this season, what God has been doing, and some of you are like, why has COVID hit? Why are we going through all this? What is happening? The social unrest. We've got elections coming. We've got so much division. What is God doing? He's shaking those things that can be shaken. He's tumbling down those gods that we have propped up to be gods in our lives. And he's wanting our hearts to turn back to him. Because he's jealous. He's in love with you. He wants that loving relationship with you. He wants you to turn your heart away from those other gods and those other lovers, and he wants you to turn your heart to him. So how do we do that really quick? How do we return to God? And God is saying, I want you to return to me. That's what God was speaking through Hosea. You've been far from me. You've been drifting from me. And for some of you out there, you've been far from God. You've been drifting away from God. You've been living your life. You've been in what I call the COVID coma, just lackadaisical. You haven't had a hunger for God, a passion for God. You haven't had a desire for the things of God. You haven't spent time in loving relationship with God. You haven't even been able to get to church. You haven't even been watching online church. You want to hear something crazy? They say online church attendance is down 30 to 40%. But porn is up 30%. Can't be better. What's saying? I've turned my heart. I've turned my heart to the things of God. I've turned my heart to my husband. I've turned my heart away from my husband. But God today, through the life of Hosea, he's like, come back home. Return. Come to me. I'm there with you. I'm a jealous God. I love you. So how do we return? Real quick. I'll go through these four really fast. Number one, we return through repentance. The word repentance actually means to return or to turn. In the book of Revelation, and I don't want to throw another passage at you, but there's a story in which Jesus gives a charge against the church. They were lukewarm. He said, you've lost your first love. I wonder how many today have lost their first love. They've lost their passion for their first love. They've lost their desire for their first love. I wonder how many today have lost their love and intimacy for their husband. I'm not saying physically, I'm saying spiritually. Their God, Jesus. I'm not inviting you to religion. And this is what our church is all about. If you're new to our church, this church exists to lead people into a transforming relationship with Jesus, not religion. Because religion is life-taking. Relationship is life-giving. He says to that church in Revelation 2, he says, consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you first did when you used to do. Secondly, you ready for number two? You guys ready? It's not going to be an easy one. You guys are going to be okay with that? Number one, return through repentance. Number two, return the tithe. You're like, how in the world, Pastor, did you weave that tithing message in this message? Pastor, you are good. Right? Some of y'all are like, man, Pastor, you're good. How in the world did you get that? Well, let me explain. Tithing has nothing to do with money. It has to do with your heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And every time, I used to say tithe check, no one writes checks anymore. Every time we go online and click that submit button, a piece of us is coming under God's submission. Oof. Every time I hit that submit button, God, I am submitting to you. In other words, my heart is turned to you. We have to guard our hearts above all else. How? This is one practical way in which we say, my heart is turned to you, God. I trust. My heart is turned to you. You know, the biggest problem in most marriages, it has to do with the hearts. And this is what I tell most couples, if you're facing marital problems, is because oftentimes things come against us and cause our hearts to turn away from each other. And it's the same thing with God. So many things come at us that try to push our hearts away from God, turn our hearts away from God. But God is saying, no, keep your heart turned to me through repentance, through tithing. Number three, through intimacy. What do I mean by that? I mean spiritual practices that open yourself to God, like as simple as prayer, as simple as quietness before the Lord. What we have to be more concerned about than open churches, and I know a lot of people are very passionate about keeping church open. I'm more passionate about keeping church open, but more passionate about keeping your Bibles open before God. Lord, speak. The Bible is God's love letter to you. I remember when I was in Bible college, we didn't have cell phones. Yeah, it was the Stone Age. Sorry, guys, I know you guys probably hard to, the young people here today are probably like, what? Yeah, no cell phones. We had what's called payphone. Anybody remember payphone? And there were like 20 guys on the floor with one payphone. And I remember we had to rely on letters. For those of you who don't know what a letter is, anyway, I don't have a lot of time, but you just write it out. But man, when one came in the mail from my future bride, it was my wife, okay, not about anybody else. Every word. Honey, your eyes are like the sea, and your lips. I can't go any further because we're in church. But let me tell you, those love letters came in. I couldn't stop. I still have them. I still got them. The Word of God is His love letter to us. You know what God says? He says, you are beautiful. You are wonderful. You are fearfully made. Lastly, but not least, return to obedience. What is God asking you to do? Obey. We don't obey to please God. That's religion. We obey because we love God. That's relationship. I obey you because I love you. As we close, what is God asking you to return to? Repentance, to tithing, to intimacy, to obedience. And maybe some of you have drifted far from God, and you're like, Pastor, I've been drifting away from God, but today I hear God's Spirit saying, come home, return. Or maybe you've never had a relationship with God, and today God is saying, I want a relationship with you. Would you bow your head? We're going to close really quick. Stay with me, both online and in person. If you're here today and you're ready to come home and give Jesus your life, would you just simply raise your hand and say, that's me, Pastor. I want to give Jesus my heart and my life. Raise it high, both online and in person here today. Yeah, I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else, both online? Come on now, people online. Say, I want to give Jesus my life. You can put your hand down. Or maybe you're here today and you've drifted away and you've chased other lovers, but now you've come to the point that you recognize that I got to go back home to my husband. I got to go back to my God, because it's there. I'm better off with him than I am without him. If that's you, lift your hand. Say, I got to come back home to my God. Anybody else? I want to come back into a relationship with God. Lord Jesus, we pray for every person here today listening. We pray that you would meet them where they're at, that you touch their hearts and lives. But God, that you would rekindle the passion and the hunger and the love. Lord, let this not be about religion, but our relationship with you. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody together said, amen and amen.